Hello and welcome to SMPD, the podcast where we look back at the shows that shaped our childhoods. I am Chris Bolton. With me, as always, my cartoon companion, Mr. Mark Williams.
Hello.
And this episode, we are looking back at yet another early 90s anthropomorphic crime-fighting mutant super team. It's time to look back at the Street Sharks. Now,
Yeah.
I mean, you can hear the barrel bottom being scraped, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to be honest. I've got some feelings on this. I didn't when you put it on the list. You put this on the list a long time ago.
I did. Yeah.
And when you mentioned it, I couldn't place it. I couldn't think of it. And then having Googled it and sort of pulled up some images, I went, "Oh, right, it's these fuckers."
Yeah.
And I recognized them. And I recognized the toys. My cousin had because I remember the toys being quite big compared to what you were getting at the time. The action figures you were getting at the time were they kind of shrunk a little bit. They were kind of sort of 5 to 6 inch a standard as opposed to the 8 or 9 inch ones. These were more like Thundercats. They were bigger and they were sturdier. So I remembered these. They were really fucking heavy duty things as well. So I remembered those. And then I thought, right, okay, well, at least I know what I'm talking about now. I remember what the show is, sort of. So I wasn't quite sure going into this, and then obviously the last week or so has been a bit shit and I haven't really had a chance to do a lot, so I came back to this today. I went, oh fuck, I need to watch this now, otherwise we're not going to have a show to do again tonight. So so I've come at it relatively fresh, and thoughts.
Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts as well. So it's interesting you mentioned the toys, because that is primarily what I remember of Street Sharks. This, when this was airing, it was kind of the closing years of my childhood, really. Yeah. I was rapidly approaching teenage years. Well, I was in my teenage years when this debuted, but rapidly approaching my mid-teens where I was too cool for school. So it wasn't something I was necessarily aware of on TV immediately, but the toys caught my eye. I remember seeing the toys and being like, what the fuck's that? That looks cool. Because like you said, they were bigger, right? And for whatever you can say about this, you know, giant fucking bipedal sharks. That, like, for a teenage boy, they look pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Right? So I can totally understand kind of where they were coming from. So then I did watch some of the show as a kid because I saw the toys first and I was like, oh, this looks pretty fucking cool. And then I just remember watching some of it. And even as a kid, watching some of it and going, oh, no. No, this isn't good, is it? But I did carry on watching it for some reason, but I just remember thinking, oh no, this really isn't good, is it? So it was interesting. I've got thoughts too. My overriding thought, and maybe we'll get into this and discuss it as we go through. Obviously it's a Turtles ripoff.
Oh, good. Yeah. You
know, obviously they're cashing in, and obviously it's made to sell toys.
Yes.
But my overriding thought is, whilst it is definitely scraping the bottom of the barrel, it's, you know, definitely got a lot of issues. I do feel like it knew exactly what it was, and it stays in its lane. Like, it doesn't try and be big, it doesn't try and be clever. There's one instance I can think of where they took a pot shot at Turtles, and I was a bit and that did jar with me.
Is that the pizza gag?
Yeah, the pizza gag in the pilot. Because other than that, it's like, it's very clearly just designed to sell the fucking toys. Like, nobody gives a fuck about the story. Nobody gives two fucks about the characters. The quality of the animation is not good.
I was going to go with hokey. I was going to give it a pass as far as hokey.
Yeah, it's interesting because we had a brief chat before we started recording this, and you've watched what is essentially the full length pilot, right? The feature length pilot, which is the first three episodes. So I kind of watched that, and then I jumped forward. I haven't watched much more than you, but I jumped forward then and looked at some others. And there is a marked drop in quality from pilot to the show. Oh, huge. Huge. It is like night and day. Now, I'm not saying the pilot is great, but I remember like watching those first episodes, I was thinking to myself, oh, actually, this animation isn't too bad. It's quite fluid. But I was thinking, like, there's something that's off about it. Now, it's interesting you say hokey. I think I mean the same thing as your definition of hokey when I say this, is that it took me a while to put my finger on it, but it wasn't that the animation was bad. It was actually that they'd overdone it, I think. It was...
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Relatively fluid, but it was kind of like, especially in those pilots. Now, this changes when you get into the series, but if anything, they'd over-animated it. It's like when you go and see a really bad, like, local theatre or an Amdram production.
Yeah.
And you get people on stage who don't understand what they need to do with their hands. Like, they constantly feel... They're so afraid of corpsing that they are constantly moving.
Yeah.
And it's that. Like, every character on screen is moving all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't have to. They aren't puppets.
I was going to say, it's interesting because we had this conversation when we did Fraggle Rock, and we said the opposite is that the fact that they're constantly moving when they're in the background, when they're not involved in the scene, that they are moving when you've got puppets, because it's all, because you've got physical depth there,
mm-hmm.
it feels more natural. Whereas once you have it in a cartoon, because you don't have depth of field or anything like that, you don't have anything that's slightly out of focus or anything, it's all crystal clear and it's all drawn meticulously, and it's like, oh fuck, what am I supposed to be looking at?
Yeah, and I think, you know, with puppets it works, because puppets, like, the physical things, right, but they're felt and fuzz, essentially, and stuffing. You can't really make them breathe, not with any sort of regularity, right?
Yeah.
Not now, you know, with increasing advancements in animatronics and things like that, yes, you could potentially make one look like it's breathing, but most of the time, for the kind of money you're going to be putting in a TV show, you're not going to see a puppet breathing, so they have to be moving so they don't look like a corpse. With animation, you can animate blinks, you can animate, you know, the odd breath. You don't have to animate people constantly just moving their arms around or shaking their legs or chomping their teeth. But that's what they do here. Especially, it's particularly bad with Dr. Paranoid. He's basically Kirking this shit. Like, his hands are constantly moving every time he talks to accentuate every single word. Yeah. And it's...
And I think you're right. I think I couldn't put my finger on what was wrong with the animation. It escaped me what it was. I could just tell it wasn't right.
Mm. I think that's what it is. And that's why it feels hokey, because it feels overdone. Yeah. It's almost cheesy because it's so overdone.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Now, that once I put my finger on that, it didn't bother me too much. Again, particularly given the tone of the thing. You know, like I said, it's the whole thing is just a great big ball of cheese. So I was just like, okay, I'll go with this. But then once you get into the show proper, like, the line work is terrible. The animation drops. The quality drops all the way down. It's nowhere near as fluid as it was. They do.
And that's probably because once the pilot had been commissioned, didn't have to try anymore.
Or exactly. You know, at that point, it's just about churning them out. Because, like I said, it knows what it is. It's about churning them out so there's a new mutant every week on one side or the other.
Yeah.
So we can sell more toys. That's basically what it's about. There's a marked drop in quality. The theme tune changes as well. The theme tune wasn't brilliant to begin with, but it's a hell of a lot worse afterwards. So
I was going to come on to that, because I went to download the theme tune earlier on for the start of the episode, and I downloaded one and I played it to make sure the quality was all right. I thought, what the fuck is this? This isn't the one I've been listening to all day.
So that's what would become the actual theme that's on most of the episodes. Fuck. That kind of horrible, almost jazzy version.
Yeah.
Because
at least the sort of, you know, the almost metal version on the pilot, it sets a tone.
It sets the tone. It matches the tone of the show. And I have to say, for as much as I'm saying it's not great, I have been walking around all week going, Street Sharks, do 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 do, Street Sharks, do do.
I found myself humming it when I was on the bus on the way home earlier.
Yeah, it totally works, doesn't it? It does everything it needs to do. Again, knows what it is, sets the tone for the show perfectly. I'll be honest, those first three, I enjoyed. Like, I can't say they were good. I know they weren't.
Same, yeah.
But I enjoyed watching them because I knew what it was instantly. Like, I kind of knew going in anyway because I remembered what it was. But right, like, from that opening straight away, you know what it is.
Yeah.
And I was just, all right, I'm up for this. This is really dodgy, like, late 80s, early 90s action cartoon. It's there to sell toys to prepubescent boys. Like, fine. I know exactly. It's going to be dumb as a bag of rocks. See also Speed Racer. You know, it will be dumb as a bag of rocks. Nothing's going to make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
And it ticked all those boxes, but it was quite a fun ride. Like even the appalling shark gags all the way through. But it's like, well, that's, of course you've got to. Like,
you can't not, can you?
You can't not. And they're terrible.
Yeah, they are awful. And it's interesting you brought up Speed Racer, because that was one of the things I kept on thinking to myself when I was watching it today as well, is that when we looked at Speed Racer, I made a fairly pointed comment that it ticks all of those late 80s, early 90s action cartoon boxes.
Yes.
You've got vehicles that can be sold as toys, which are a bit funky and a bit cool. You've got very vivid, very standout characters that, in this instance, happen to be mutants, exactly the same as Turtles, just sharks.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a fairly small rogues gallery, but you've got a consistent format for every episode. And I think that, yeah, for me, it just ticks, it ticked all the boxes on the list. And I'm like, right, okay, I can see why this worked to a point.
Yeah.
However, I've seen this movie before. Yeah. I've seen Turtles. I've seen Biker Mice from Mars. I've seen fucking Toxic Crusaders. All these things that were around about the same time, where they all had this COD environmental message, this thing about, you know, mad science gone wrong, and all these things they're trying to play in. I think they're not doing anything new. They're not doing anything groundbreaking here. And there was a big opportunity, and I'll come on to it when we start talking about some of the actual plot. That's of the overarching of the art. I say plot loosely.
Plot. Oh,
I say that loosely, and I'll come back to why I say that. But there was a lot they could have done, and a lot I would have want. I'm thinking I wanted them to do.
Yeah.
And they just didn't bother. And they could have made a hell of a different show, and a lot more memorable show, and a lot better show, if they just, again, pulled on a few threads. They mentioned them. They started down a particular route, and they just didn't pull the thread anymore. They just let it go and went back to the really shitty shark puns.
Yeah, I sort of agree, but I also feel like that's a dangerous road for them. And I think that's kind of exactly what I mean by staying in its lane. I think, yeah, in the pilot, maybe they looked at that and thought, we can take this places.
Mm.
And then realized that actually, no, we just need to make a cartoon that sells toys. So that's what we're going to do. And I think had they tried to make it more interesting, you know, in narratively then, shall we say, had they taken some of those roots into the science of it all and things like that, and the character work, it becomes a very different show. And I don't think then it would be good enough to stand up against something like, say, Gargoyles or Batman the Animated Series, or because that's then the box that you're starting to put it in, right? Yeah. Whereas now the box you're putting it in is like, yeah, all right, Turtles is obviously top tier, and then, you know, even you could even probably lump Thundercats and stuff like that in there as well with these action adventure serials. And then you can work down through, you know, the Biker Mice from Mars, the Cowboys of Mu Mesa, the Samurai Pizza Cats, all of these.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably unfair to Samurai Pizza Cats, but you know what I mean? Those kind of anthropomorphic, crime fighting, mutant, you know, superhero, alien, whatever they're going to be, but animals who, like, bust shit up, basically.
Yeah.
That's the subgenre here. Animals that bust shit up.
It's a technical term. I like it.
Yeah. And this feels, in a lot of ways, like the purest incarnation of all of those tropes in the dumbest way possible. It's like they've taken everything from all of those other shows
and slammed it all in.
Yeah, and they've put it on like a rolling boil for like 2-3 hours and just reduced it down to this absolute basic stock of like, this is what these shows are. They are dumb as fuck. They are full of puns. There's a new mutant every week. There are ridiculous, ridiculous leaps of faith required to follow the plot, but it doesn't matter because, look, the sharks are just going to eat their way through fucking asphalt. So, like, at that point, once you've got sharks who can swim through asphalt, everything
and
else...
through titanium.
Yeah, everything else just becomes redundant, doesn't it? It's like, oh, all right, so you've got a magic mind-controlling serum now, fine. The sharks are eating their way through concrete, so whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, they've all of a sudden, they've also got, like, magic non-shark-related powers, like, you know, being able to cause earthquakes because they're so fucking strong. Like, what the fuck's that got to do with a whale shark? Like,
exactly.
How does that work? You know? But it doesn't matter because they absolutely know. It's just about what looks cool, what's going to sell the toys. So, you know, a lot of what I'm going to say has to be viewed through the lens of, but it's intentionally dumb as fuck. Nobody looked at this and thought they were making a masterpiece.
No one. God, no.
Like, they tried their best. Of course they did. Everybody always tries their best. Otherwise, what's the point? Yeah. Right? And I do believe they did, because, you know, this could be a lot worse. But, yeah, a lot of it is just like... And actually, when you think about it, if you try and go into those other elements, you know, if you try and start making some, you know, social political comments, or if you try and talk about the environment and stuff like that, what you actually end up with is probably biker mice from Mars, which... Yeah, fuck it, we may as well upset Biker Mice from Mars fans again. If you go back and listen to our evaluation of that, listeners, it's not only is it not good, it's horrendously offensive, because the values it were spewing is now so outdated and so just wrong, in our opinion anyway, that it's actually very distasteful. And you don't have to worry about that here, because it's just about mutant sharks who can chomp through the road and like rip things in half and stuff. So, fine, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you're right. I think it knows what it is, and it knows very much that it is, you know, we're selling toys of mutant sharks, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, you kind of, that's what it's doing, and that's fine. I think possibly it's the lens I'm looking at it through now, being in my 40s and not really looking for dumb as a bag of rocks, because I deal with people with dumb as bags of rocks every fucking day of my life. So I don't know if I was just looking for something too much out of it, but I'm thinking that the pilot's a prime example. We get the very brief setup where Professor Bolton. He finds out that his partner, Dr. Paradigm, or Professor Paradigm, whatever, is doing some nefarious work with his gene splicing research, and he tries to stop him, and he gets basically suckered into, and sort of sucker punched and turned into something which we don't see what, and he runs away and slinks off. And then immediately after that, we set the kids up to then come and go look for him and get turned into street sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these kids? What? No, we know nothing about these kids, so we don't know what this fucking means anyway. What are the consequences to these kids? The fact they're turned into sharks, how does that affect them? How do their personalities inform the type of sharks they are and what they do? Because, I mean, I think this comes later on. I mean, I looked at the wiki page before we came on just to do a little bit of reading about it. And there's loads of character information in there, which I'm assuming they've taken from later episodes, because nothing about it is clear in the first three. You get no sense of character whatsoever, apart from the blue one, who walks past his reflection in a window at one point, stops, does a little fucking Hulk pose, and then carries on walking. Apart from that, you get nothing.
You don't. And that was a problem for me as well. That was one of those leaps of faith I'm talking about, because like, by the time they're sharks, they all do have very distinct personalities. But you don't... That doesn't tie back to the kids, I agree.
No, but that's because we don't... No, they've got no...
Yeah.
It's because we're not introduced to them. There's no normality. There's no breaking into the first act. It's just straight into, right, we're turning them into sharks. Well, why should we give a fuck?
Because that sells toys and the kids don't. It's as simple as that. I mean, see also Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles / Hero Turtles, whatever you want to call it. Like, they've all got their own distinct personalities. We don't really see those personalities evolve in the show. We're just thrown into it with, like, well, Michelangelo's the party dude, Leonardo's the leader, Donatello's the nerd, and Raph's got a fucking serious attitude.
Yeah.
You never question why. That's just how
that's
they fine are.
Because that's where they start from. It's the difference there is, from what I remember, you correct me if I'm wrong, but their pilot episode wasn't a fucking origin story. It wasn't how they became turtles and became crime fighters. They already were. We were introduced to the characters in their, effectively, their finished form.
Yeah.
Here we're not. And it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, I agree. I totally see where you're coming from. But I also just think, like, fucking street sharks. Like, they've got 20 minutes in that first episode to show you the sharks as much as possible. So you run out and buy the toys. Like, no one gives a fuck. Like not what, like we do now as 40-year-old adults, but the show's not for us. Like, 10-year-old kids are just like, I don't want to see the fucking Bolton brothers running about in, like, you know, some weird fucking retro future that's all covered in smog and shit. Like, I don't want to see that. I want to see the sharks eating things. Like, so you get to them as quickly as possible. I think the important thing is that the sharks have their own distinct personalities.
Absolutely.
The boys are there purely as a narrative hook for the sharks. Like, they want to be human again because they haven't always been street sharks. So, because they can remember being human, right? Yeah. Whereas some of the mutants can't really, because there's two types of mutation in this as well. There's ones where he applies human DNA to the animals.
Yeah.
And then there's reverse. And the bad guys is usually a case of applying human DNA to a specific animal, because yeah. that's what he wants. When it goes the other way, they have some sort of memory. They still have this human...
They're still the person.
They're still the person. They've just been transformed. So, yeah, they, as far as I can tell in the episodes I've watched, they don't ever really dive into that. You know, the sharks are just the sharks. That's who they are. You know, you see also, like, the instant they turned into sharks, they start making shark puns immediately. There's no...
Yeah.
There's no remorse. There's no fear. There's no regret. There's
This is the thing, and this is what I said about the fact that, you know, it's a fairly catastrophic event in your life.
Huge.
There's going to be an effect, and the effect isn't just going to be, I'm going to make fish puns.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, I did rub up against that for all of like 5 seconds, and then I was like, yeah, but street sharks in it. It's got to do what it says on the tin.
Yeah, so, no, I appreciate
yeah, it's
that.
Not good. And there's a much, much better version of this show that actually delves into that.
Yeah.
But again, then it starts to become something different. I don't think this show was ever concerned with being good. I think it was concerned with being, you know, as good as it needed to be, and everybody involved worked to that level and gave their best, but they all knew they were making an action cartoon to sell toys. You know, He-Man is the same when you look at it. Like, if you want to take this to the nth degree, like, we compare it to Turtles because of what it is, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at He-Man, that was the same. Like, some of the stories in He-Man and some of the characterization in He-Man is absolutely bollocks. But it was like, oh, yeah, but we got a new toy out next month, so he needs to be in an episode. So, I don't know, just make up some shit about Modulok in it because kids want to buy him. So, this is the same thing. It's just like, oh, we got a new lobster toy coming out, so...
Yeah.
Like, and you haven't showed the vehicles for a week. And you know, that's what it is. And I think enjoying it is probably a strong term, but yeah, it's the only one I can think of to use. Enjoying it on any level just requires switching that part of your brain off.
Yeah, true.
It really does.
I don't know, I think the way it was set up, especially with the father disappearing right at the beginning, and then it had more of a sort of, no, there was potential for more of a sort of a Jace or a Ulysses type story where you actually tell a story, and you can still, you can still do it episodically. You can still do it the way they want to do it, but you can tell more of a story, and you can build an arc in, and actually, that's how, just do something a bit different. Because I mean, this was lather, rinse, repeat.
Yeah,
from Turtles and everything else that came between the two.
That's all it was ever meant to be. You know, that's all. You don't see Ulysses toys. You don't see Jace toys.
Now, Jace toys, they should have been Jace toys,
they should
right?
have been. They might have been, actually, but we just don't remember them. Like, was there?
I'm fairly sure we'd have had them if they were.
Pretty sure as well. But, you know, those, you don't see, you know, D'Artagnan and the Muskerhound toys. You don't see Around the World with Willy Fogg toys. You don't, because those shows are operating on an entirely different level, and they're more concerned with character and narrative than they are with flashy things go bang, look at the cool shark man. Like, yeah. which is what this is. This is the animated equivalent of a first-person shooter. That's what this is. It's just like, we don't need any narrative, no characterization. This isn't art. We're not trying to do anything clever. Just, you know, boom, boom, bang, bang. That's it.
I just thought the way it started, I thought there was a bit more potential to it, and I think that left me a little bit disappointed.
That's a different argument. I would agree. I mean... Yeah, you know, you could get into monster movie territory with it and all sorts if you wanted to. But, you know, because there is a thing, you know, initially society is shunning the sharks, and then that's all because, you know, Dr. Paradigm, Dr. Paranoid, whatever you want to call him, is actually manipulating.
Yeah, he poisons the well.
Manipulating the media
and
stuff.
And that's the thing, like, they refer to him more than once as Frankenstein as well.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm thinking, that there are threads there that almost set themselves up to pull later on.
Mm.
And then they just kind of shy away from it because, as you said, that's not going to sell toys.
No, it's not.
It was just really frustrating because I think there is a happy medium in there somewhere which says we can still do the show that introduces a new fucking toy every week, but still have an actual show, not just lather and repeat, beat some stuff up and then go away again.
Oh, I agree. There's definitely a happy medium, but I think to achieve the happy medium, this would have had to have existed as a concept on its own before Turtles became a thing, before Biker Mice followed it, before all of these other, because this was just riding coattails. And it,
I mean,
it,
this is coming to the end of that period it as well. Is. I mean, this is,
and it's
this
a cash
is, what,
grab.
Eight, 9 years after Turtles?
This is just a cash grab. It's nothing more and nothing less. Now, if it exists on its own, then, yeah, you've got to sell this fucking product then, right? You can't just wander in and go, ta-da, Street Sharks, because everybody's got to go, what the fuck have you been smoking? Right.
Well, yeah, so, it's kind of like the bit in Big, isn't it, where he's trying to sell the toys, and they've got, we've got a building that turns into a robot, turns into a building. He's like, well, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Without any context, yeah, it doesn't sell.
It doesn't sell, exactly. So I think if you know, if it's not riding the coattails of those other shows, then, yeah, you know, again, like, unfair comparisons because it's so good, but look at something like Gargoyles, right, where you have to go through the door and go, right, okay, this is what this is. Because you aren't going to understand it just from a poster and stuff. Like, you just aren't. Yeah. And the toys are going to be a difficult sell because they look horrific. Like, this is what this thing is. And so you have to really layer that story, and you have to bring those characters through in any sort of pitch meeting. Whereas here, the pitch meeting is literally like, here's a picture of the Street Sharks. Here they are. And some fucking marketing guy somewhere is going to go, yep, I can sell those. No problem. Sharks are cool. Like, we'll sell those. And that's what this is.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that the cartoon isn't a complete and utter train wreck, which it isn't, I think is about the best you can hope for. Because it's like the stories, at least, you know, they do follow some sort of narrative thread. They do make narrative sense. It's just that narrative is so fucking bonkers and requires so many leaps of faith, you know. But and it's so basic. Like, some of the episodes I watched involved, you know, mutants being created who would, you know, it's a classic trope. They'll be created and Paradigm will initially convince them that the Street Sharks are bad, or he'll use the mind control devices or the mind control serum that he had, rather, to try and get them to go after the Sharks. But then, of course, they'll see the error of their ways and they'll switch sides. Yeah. And then there are some that just don't remain neutral and don't particularly take a side at all and have their own stories. Yeah. And so there's all of these things. But they don't just, like, show them and have them do nothing. There's always, like, one of the ones I watched this afternoon actually involved what is blatantly a Venom ripoff, which is a killer whale with a big tongue.
Yeah.
But he's actually a friend of the Street Sharks. And then he gets captured by Paradigm, and then he uses mind control on him, so he thinks he needs to fight the Sharks. And then, of course, they manage to talk him around. So he then becomes like a almost sort of a recurring ally.
Yeah, of which there are quite a few.
There are lots, and that's what I'm saying. Like, they don't Masters of the Universe this, where they just drop him in for one episode and just go, haha, that's what Ram Man is. That's what Fisto is. And then you're off, and you don't really see them again because we need to see the next one. They do make an effort to bring these characters back. Yeah. So, you know, there is some semblance of story there. I don't know if you watched any of the... No, you didn't. You only watched the first three. So you didn't see the last season where it gets...
So the one with the dinosaurs?
Yeah. What the
Now, I'm aware of
fuck?
That. I've...
What? See, now, interestingly, I think that with the dinosaurs is kind of what you're looking for.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. And that went off to be its own series as well.
Span off to its own show. But it's fucking, it's just mad. And not in a good way. Because it's so confused. Like, it's like, who are we following here? Is it sharks or is it dinosaurs? Yeah. And then Paradigm ends up injecting himself with, like, lizard DNA.
Iguana.
An iguana, yeah. So he's Dr. Iguanoid rather than Dr. fucking... Dr. Pranoid, he's Dr. Iguanoid.
I mean, again, talking about the leaps of faith, I mean, there's the whole pseudoscience crap behind it, whereby I'll just fuse my DNA with this and automatically become that thing. I said, like, okay, I know gene splicing wasn't a thing then. They were still trying to investigate the genome and stuff, but fucking hell.
It's gene bashing here, I think you'll find. It's gene bashing. So
fucking mind bashing.
But that, again, that's typical of this show's act. It's like, we need a word for this. I don't know, make it up. It's gene bashing. It's fine.
Yeah, because genetics would have been in the news around about the time, because they were on the decoding the genome or whatever. So that would have, people would have heard it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know what it meant. And it's the same as when like Toxic Crusaders came out and Captain Planet, we talked about as well. Fucking toxic waste was going to destroy the world.
Yeah.
It was everywhere and it was the worst thing ever. And so people latched onto it. And actually, it kind of just disappeared because other things became more pressing and they realized that waste can be managed. Even if you just encase it in concrete and bury it in the middle of the sea, which is what a lot of people did. But it's not, we're now 35 years later and we're not up to our knees in fucking toxic sludge.
Yeah, we got away with it.
And it's kind of the same thing. It's just like they're just kind of like buzzwords.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing at the time. So we'll just latch onto that, hope the kids have heard the word but don't actually know any fucking thing about it, and we'll get away with it. And then when they come to study science in 10 years' time, their entire worldview will be completely skewed because of the fact you can't just inject fucking piranha DNA into somebody and turn them into a mutant fish.
Yeah, but I think, you're right. Kids are dumb, right? And yeah. I think as kids, you just accept things like that. Same as, you'll accept that there's mind control serum. You'll accept that, like radioactive goop will turn turtles into crime-fighting ninjas. Yeah. And
the fucking quicksand is everywhere.
I mean, right, that how are we
not... I was
not...
fucking terrified of quicksand as a kid.
We all were, right? But that's because every fucking show, quicksand was an issue, right?
And also Neverending Story traumatized me.
I mean, that's a big part of it. But it was every show as well. Like, quicksand was a genuine thing. Have you ever heard of quicksand in the real world ever?
Like, no.
Does it even exist?
I made a
sinkhole
on a construction site once because I overly fucking wet it. But beyond that, no.
Does it even exist? I mean, it must do.
I think it does. I think it's like pockets of water within very fine sand.
Don't know.
But beyond that, I don't know. I don't understand how it comes about. I don't understand what it does. And I certainly don't understand why it was so fucking prevalent in 80s television.
Me either. But
for an entire generation, it's fucking scarring.
Yeah. So, what are you going to do? Like, you can't break this stuff down and make it more scientific. Then it becomes Batman, right? Yeah. So you're just like, smash the genes together to become one and what have you. And you get a fucking mutant shark hybrid who still wears pants because...
Cartoon,
yeah. But that does beg the question, doesn't it? Like, I know they've got legs, right?
Yeah.
But is it, like, shark from the waist up, human from the waist down? Or is it just shark with legs? Because I figured it was shark with legs.
Yeah, because they don't have tails and fins and stuff, do they?
No.
Like, they have the dorsal fin.
Yeah.
But they don't have, they don't have a tail and fins on there.
No, they've got arms and stuff. So
yeah, it must... I think it's... Well, I don't know. I kind of think it's more, because they've got arms as well, I think it's more man with a shark head. It's a bit like Maui.
Yeah, so if it's man with a shark head, all right, I can understand wearing the trousers because they'll have a big old dick flapping around, yeah?
Yeah.
But if it's just a shark that's grown legs...
A shark with arms and legs, then yeah.
Then there's no dick, right? That's right, isn't it? Sharks haven't got a dick.
Don't believe so.
I don't believe they do. I've never seen a shark dick anyway, put it like this.
No.
All right, hang on. You know what happens to your listeners? I ruin my search history.
This is where you fuck up
forever.
Your algorithms for another 6 months.
Yeah. Okay. Do sharks have dicks?
Drum roll, please.
Right. Shark claspers, that's a terrifying term if ever I heard one, are quite different to human genitalia. They are similar in that there are projections that deliver sperm into a female, known as an intermittent organ, but they are not actually an independent appendage like the human penis. In fact, they are modified and grooved fins. So, yeah, they don't have a dick.
Okay.
So sharks don't have dicks.
If you're fucking Chad from the party block and you get turned into a man shark, you're going to be really pissed off if you all of a sudden don't have a dick.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty fucking annoying. Or if it's a fin, but they got arms. So, yeah, they literally don't have a dick.
Yeah.
Unless they are a shark down there and that fin is down there.
Maybe.
But then their trousers wouldn't fit, would they?
You wouldn't have thought so, no.
See, these are important questions. Never mind gene splicing. The important questions are, do the street sharks have a dick or not? Inquiring minds
need to know. Well, yeah, because, in theory now, they never really sets out how old they are. I'm guessing they're sort of high school age.
Yeah, they're teenagers. It does say that they're teenagers.
Oh, does it? I don't remember. At some point, at least one of us is going to try and crack on to that scientist who works for Dr. Paradigm.
Oh, she kind of goes away.
She gets dropped after the first season. I think there's a few characters who get dropped after season one. There's a detective as well who they fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
Um, But like you figure there's four teenage boys and there's probably the only girl they ever have an interaction with. Somebody's gonna have a crack, but if they haven't got a dick,
what are they gonna do? Yeah, I mean you've got to feel bad for them. Really, they're probably all virgins.
Yeah, probably.
See, but there's something you can get in it. You know, if you want story, there's something you can dive into there as well. There's got to be a Beauty and the Beast element there somewhere as well if you wanted it.
Yeah.
But again,
this is it. There are so many things they could have done.
Yeah, but it just ain't that show, is it?
As I said, it's not that show. And I think that you're absolutely right. No, it would make it a very different show and they wouldn't have the same effect, which is, you know, Kenner ain't making a line of toys for a show about fucking mutant sharks that are all angsty and worried about the fact they're now sharks and they're not going to get laid.
Yeah, they're absolutely not, right? The show is, here are some giant fucking mutant sharks who like to fucking eat through concrete. That's the show. And also, like, they bite things a lot. Like,
yes, they do.
That's what you want from this, right?
Yeah.
That's all you want from this. Yeah, that's
it. To be fair, you almost get to the point. You want to see how much they can actually bite through.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, they bite through metal a lot. Titanium.
I think
the only one
they didn't bite through was when they were, I think it's the end of the second episode, where they're in like some gene chamber and they're about to have the humanity taken out of them and replaced with fucking piranha or something. And that's the cliffhanger. But Dr. Piranha, I think he's in Piranoid form then, he tells them that they're in a cell which is like 5 inches of titanium. So I think we've got to assume that's their limit. Because it's kind of a given at that point. They're not chomping their way out of that one.
No. But then
beyond that, we never really test anything up to that limit.
I think they can chomp their way through whatever they need to chomp their way through for story reasons. I think it changes week by week, seems to be the issue.
Now, if you wanted to be really sort of dickish about it and say, well, there is a story reason. It's because of the shape of their heads. Because if they've got a titanium wall, they're going to have to clamp down on and their noses are going to get in the way. So you could give that as a bollocksy story explanation, because they tried punching their way out of it and that didn't work.
Yeah, I mean they just don't bother explaining anything though, do they? It's just like
it's a 5-inch titanium wall. They can't bite through it.
It's as simple as that. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. You know, if we really want to get into it, like the top halves are sharks and they wander around on the surface constantly with it. In fact, all of the sea creatures do. None of them ever need water. So,
no,
you know, to worry about the metaphysics of what they can actually bite through is a little bit redundant, you know. Like, I don't understand how, like, I get that they're street sharks, so they're like they show the fins swimming through the road and stuff, but like they give them all these mad superpowers, each of them individual super. Surely, like, the thing of being turned into a shark is like, okay, cool, I can swim really fast now.
Yeah.
So surely, rather than set it in a city, like, you still have them be street sharks, and they can live in like a bayside town somewhere.
Yeah, they can use the water to get around.
That makes more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, you think so?
But again, not concerned, are they?
Absolutely not.
Not concerned. So interestingly, I have found out that this is due for a reboot this year. Now,
yeah, so I don't know whether it's a reboot. I know they announced a new toy line coming out this year to celebrate the 30th anniversary.
Right, maybe that's what it is then. Maybe it's that, the toys are coming back out.
I've got the wiki page open in front of me. And so, a relaunch of the action figures was announced by Mattel in 2024 for the series' 30th anniversary, featuring Ripster, Jab and Slash in the first wave. Figures for Streaks, Big Slam and Dr. Piranha have also been revealed.
Oh, okay. I mean,
so beyond that, I don't know if there's anything else coming with it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you've just got to see how that sells, basically. If those...
Well, yeah, I guess so.
If there's enough love still for this that people will go out and buy those, then yeah, maybe we'll get some. I don't see this getting another cartoon or anything. I could see a limited comic run, maybe, if those toys took off. I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, Archie Comics did a short run based on the first three episodes.
Oh, there was already a comic. I did not know.
Yeah, so in 1996, Archie Comics released a short-lived comic book series based on Street Sharks. They published a 3-issue miniseries based on the first three episodes of the series and a regular comic series which lasted 3 issues.
Yeah. Don't remember it at all.
Yeah, they had a bash at it, but...
In fact, I don't remember any other merchandise other than the toys.
No, I don't either.
I don't remember there being a Street Sharks game. I don't remember a Street Sharks annual. No. None of that. Let's have a look.
I don't either. Let's say I remember the toys because I remember them being sturdy as fuck.
The toys were. I never had one. I was too old by this point, but I always remember the toys looking really fucking cool. That's kind of what brought me to the dance. So
yeah, my cousin had them, and I remember. So I think it was the blue one, the one who's fuck. Was he called Streaks? Whichever one he was, I think he looked very much like I had the Slythe from Thundercats, and he was very broad, very well built. So the shoulders were very heavy plastic. Right. And they kind of reminded me of that. It was like a thicker plastic than you normally got in action figures at this point.
Yeah, they were very, very cool. It was Streaks, the blue one, but it's Streaks spelled in a
with an X.
Extreme way. Yeah.
It's Streaks with no A and an X.
Yeah. So there is a game, but it's a modern game.
Okay.
It's an indie. It's available on itch.io. Street Sharks, the game.
Okay.
Looks by David Mills. Looks like it's a beat 'em up, unsurprisingly.
Okay.
So there is a game, but it wasn't back in the day. I just had it. I had to have a quick look because I was like, it feels like they would have at least have been a Game Boy game because everything had a fucking Game Boy game, didn't it?
Yeah.
Everything. And it would have been just like a shit side-scrolling platform adventure type thing. Yeah. But no Street Sharks game. Not enough love for it.
No.
I think it was relatively popular. I don't think it caught on massively, but...
No, I think it came, and I think that, as I was saying earlier, I think by the time this comes along, we've already done this dance. And I think there's an element of fatigue with a lot of this type of show because there are a lot of others at this point, and a lot of them are a lot better.
I think there's... I'm not sure it's fatigue because I think kids are kind of immune to that. Like when a kid finds, certainly I did, and I know my daughter does now, when a kid finds something they like, they will just watch it and 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 watch it.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think I think there's an element of fatigue to new stuff. So it's like, well,
yes,
I've already seen that. And I've been watching Turtles. At this point, I've been watching Turtles for 6 years by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
And I've already seen Biker Mice from Mars, and I've already seen all these other things. Do I want another one? Going to be kind of the same, and when you watch that pilot, especially if the pilot is infinitely better than the episodes that follow it, you're looking at it going, yeah, but I'd rather watch Turtles, even though I've seen Turtles a lot. I'd rather watch that than this.
I mean, definitely. I'd rather watch pretty much any of them other than Biker Mice from Mars.
Yeah.
Fight me, listeners. But I think it's also, maybe not just the fatigue, the fact that Turtles is already out there.
Yeah.
Means and it would have still been repeated at this point. Like obviously we didn't have streaming at all. We didn't really have the internets in any kind of publicly accessible way.
No. It was basically what's on reruns or what's on VHS.
But Turtles would have still been in reruns, and like older brothers would have had VHS Turtles. So for kids, you can watch Street Sharks or you can watch Turtles.
Yeah.
And I know which one I'm watching. Like
now
and then. Definitely.
Yeah. And it's kind of telling that this only had 40 episodes.
See, I'm surprised it had that many, in all honesty.
It looks like the third season was cut short. There are only 8 episodes in the third season.
Okay.
So I don't know whether it was cancelled or whether they intended to do that to then launch, or they did it as a mechanism to launch Extreme Dinosaurs. But it just seems a bit redundant that they only had 8 episodes to wrap everything up. And like they didn't even, like normally they hit that sub 65 because then they can get it into syndication. And they can get it on fucking WNBC down in fucking Kansas at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and not worry about it because it'll pay for itself. But they didn't even have enough episodes to do that.
Yeah, and it's also like those 40 episodes are over the span of like 3 or 4 years as well. So it's
I mean the series breakdown. As I said, there were 13 in season one, 19 in season two, and 8 in season three. And even those 8. The 8 episodes in the last season, the first was aired on October the 3rd, the last was aired on May 18th, so they weren't even going week by week.
No. It feels like this was a constant gamble. It feels like it was constantly, can we push it further, can we push it further, can we push it further, basically. And each time you're just, you're placing small bets. Here comes a new wave of toys, so let's do another 13 episodes and we'll space them out. They're releasing this order with this wave of toys. Rather than, again, the story-led approach, for instance, where you can go, right, we're going to do 40 fucking episodes. There we go, done. We're in and out. Yeah. It's 40 episodes long. Here's your block. Or 65 is probably what you're going to do, like you said, because you're going to want to go for syndication. And then if it works, then you come back and sequelize it. But
And
even some of these episodic shows, you know, that's the golden number, and you see a lot of them will achieve that. They will just spunk 65 episodes out there into the abyss.
And even with that, a lot of the time, it's you've probably got 40 episodes of story and 25 Monster of the Week.
Yeah.
Just to get through, just to get you to that magic number. And yeah, they haven't even done that. The interesting thing with that third season is that, excuse me, the first seven episodes aired week by week from October the 3rd to November 28th, 1996. The final episode, which directly followed a cliffhanger in November, wasn't aired until May 18th.
Wow.
So you had 6 months before the final episode aired.
I mean, nobody gives a fuck after that 6 months. Nobody's coming back to watch that. No. Especially not at this age. Like, kids who are like, you know, your target audience here, kind of 10 to 12 age group, they've fucking forgotten about Street Sharks entirely.
Oh, yeah, they're on to something else. By this point, they're on the Gargoyles, which has just started.
Yeah, totally. And then they're realizing what a cartoon can be. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't understand the logic of that. I don't understand why they did that.
No.
But yeah, for whatever reason, they ended it where the Street Sharks had to rescue the Dino Avengers before the Raptors could launch a cruise missile to destroy the world. And then 6 months later, it's like that never happened. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, yeah, we've moved on a bit. And then the Street Sharks and the Dino Avengers are now guarding a biological weapons facility to stop the Raptors from getting to that. I said, what are you fucking doing? Where's the logic in that? Nothing makes any fucking sense. You don't even finish your own fucking story.
The Dino Avengers thing is mental, honestly.
It's insane.
Even just on a production kind of production value side of things, like by the time you've escalated enough to get to the fact that you're now drawing fucking dinosaurs and animating dinosaurs. Why the fuck do you care about the mutant sharks anymore, who were kind of just like little squidgy things compared to a dinosaur that hasn't got a range of complex movements and doesn't move in a specific way because it's half human, half shark?
Yeah.
Now you've got to animate dinosaurs. What the fuck? Like, it's madness, honestly. But then this show's kind of... The big narrative problem for me is kind of tied into that as well. I've taken a leap from that to this now, but it's jogged my memory. You mentioned narrative problems, and I meant to bring this up then, but that just jogged my memory. So the biggest issue I had was that it's kind of Monster of the Week in that Paradigm, Paranoid, whatever you want to call him, makes kind of a new mutant that goes after the sharks.
Yeah.
Every week. Now, his goal is to capture the sharks so he can refine his gene bashing so that he's able to remove all their human traits and then use the mind control serum to control them and have his own little crew of street sharks. Except the problem there is that this leads to him making increasingly more powerful mutants in the hope that one of them will be able to overpower and capture the sharks. Now, at that point, surely the sharks are worthless because he's made a mutant.
Anyway.
So why does he care about the sharks?
But if he's that desperate to get the sharks back, to refine what he did with the sharks, make more fucking sharks.
Well, yeah, that too. I didn't even think of that. Get more shark DNA. It's never specified that this is unique shark DNA, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So make more sharks, but keep them fucking locked up, stop them from escaping, use the mind control shit to stop them from escaping, and then do the experiments on them to refine your all the rest of it, and then you've got a fucking army of sharks, as well as all the other shit.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the potential argument around that shoots itself in the foot straight away as well, in that you can argue, well, it's not the sharks that make them powerful, it's the human side of them. It's their personalities. But then if your goal is to remove that, then they cease being the street sharks. Then they're just
mutant sharks.
Sharks, yeah. If you think about any part of this for more than a millisecond, it falls to pieces.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your brain melts.
Yeah, it does. And like I said, I kind of appreciate it on that level, but you have to meet it on that level. Now, what that means is it isn't particularly good. Like I said, I'm not going to watch any more of it. I'm not. No. Like, I'm done. But I also didn't like. I thought it was going to be hard to watch, and it's not at all. It's very, very easy to watch because it's dumb as a bag of rocks.
Yeah.
I definitely prefer it as an adult. That it, like watching it as a kid, I think I was definitely turning my nose up at it for all the reasons we've just talked about. Like,
yeah, because it's not Turtles.
It's not Turtles. I was a little bit too old. I did still carry on watching it, weirdly. But as an adult, I think I'm more forgiving of it.
Yeah.
That's because maybe as a kid I couldn't see its faults. So because I can't see them, I can't forgive them, if that makes sense. I just know that it's shit. I don't know why it's shit. I just know that it's shit.
It's just not for you. It's just not working.
Yeah. Whereas as an adult, I can meet it on its own level. And certainly as an adult who's reasonably well-educated in this field, I'm able to see the strings and understand what's going on. And so I'm able to forgive all of it. And I think I'm able to forgive them because I kind of know it's all intentional in a roundabout way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I don't mean that it's intentionally shit. I just mean that it's intentionally exactly what it needs to be, and no more and no less.
It's not trying to be clever. It's not trying to be smart and sophisticated. No. It's just, it's the action cartoon equivalent of dick and fart jokes.
It totally understands its assignment. Like, it needs to be big. It needs to be loud. It needs to be cool. Like, it's all of those things, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
it's going to be big and flashy and ostentatious, and people have got to remember it because it looks cool.
Yeah.
And that's it. Because if it looks cool, people will remember it, and then they'll buy the toys.
And you've got your elevator pitch, right? Because you're like, well, they're half shark, half man. They're called street sharks. There you go. There's your elevator. Is it a good one? No. But you absolutely understand what this show is immediately when I say that. Half man, half shark. They fight crime. They're street sharks. There you go. Yeah. Done. That's
job
it.
Done.
You know, one sentence. Basically, well, two sentences, three sentences. Fucking hell, I can't count tonight.
That's getting late.
Yeah, three sentences. There you go. That's and that is all this show is until season four, when it's also like, you know, dinosaurs from outer space and stuff. But is that technically Street Sharks? Because
now it's a spin-off, and
well, it's classed as season four of Street Sharks if you look at an episode guide. But it's actually called Dinovengers featuring Street Sharks.
I've seen it. It's its own thing. It's a spin-off called Extreme Dinosaurs, and Street Sharks ends at season three.
Right. So Extreme Dinosaurs went on to become its own thing.
Yeah.
But it started with featuring Street Sharks basically, and then it span off from there, I believe.
Okay, because you had season three where they basically turned up. They turned up in the first episode of season three.
Yeah,
Or the raptors turn up, and so the basically season three, it's a crossover.
Yeah,
and then there's nothing else listed. So if it's Extreme Dinosaurs featuring Street Sharks, then that's the first season of their show rather than the last season of the Street Sharks show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's kind of in the episode guide as Street Sharks season four. Right, I'm just checking now.
I said, where are you getting that? Because ever I've looked, it's all down in three seasons.
Wiki's got it as the fourth season on the episode guide, doesn't it?
No. I've
definitely seen it somewhere. So on Extreme Dinosaurs Wiki, episode. So there are how many episodes of it? It's all listed as one season with Extreme Dinosaurs by the look of it. But there are 52 episodes. So it's 52 episodes. It ran until 1997.
It started in 1997 as well.
Oh, there you go then. So
it ran from September the 1st, 1997 to December the 24th.
Yeah, it was on every day, looking at these air dates. Every single day.
Yeah, it was on twice a week, by the look of it.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's excessive.
No, I don't remember this show at all. But
no,
I
don't remember this at all.
I would have been 16 at this point, so I would definitely have not been interested.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
and I think if you weren't a fan of Street Sharks anyway, it was never going to carry.
No, definitely not. Although it's listed as being in the same vein as Ninja Turtles and Jurassic Park. One of those things is not like the other.
Yeah.
Madness. Madness. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, all of this is from Deke, which,
yes,
you know, to call them a studio of extremes would be kind. Like,
yeah,
they had some absolute horse shit. They also had some really, really good stuff.
but the number of times they featured on this show because it's stuff we fucking loved at the time.
Yeah, and you look back at it now and go, oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh dear, oh dear. Yeah. And it's also surprising when you consider it's from Deke, the quality of the animation once it drops off a cliff is quite surprising, because Deke at least were consistent in their production value. They were at a level, you know. Yeah, and again, that level wasn't Deke, the best in the biz, but it was serviceable.
It was, as you said, it was passable. I think the problem was Deke started changing hands, didn't it, around the mid-90s. And I think they were constantly looking at where they could cut their costs and where they could bring in more work by churning shit out rather than sort of focusing on the content and focusing on the quality. And I think this would have been roundabout then from memory.
Yeah, I guess it would have. I mean, they would have been on their way out around this time, wouldn't they? So, yeah. I mean, I'm just having a look now, right? Just like, right, the list of Deke animated series is like, yeah, so we've got obviously the big hitters, Real Ghostbusters, Super Mario Brothers, Super Show, Legend of Zelda, you know, Inspector Gadget, all the, like, Teddy Ruxpin, you know, we've looked at all of these, right?
Yep.
Captain N, of course. But then, yeah, you've also got shit like Extreme Dinosaurs and Sonic Underground and Horseland. Never even heard of Horseland.
No, I don't know that one either.
Mummy's Alive was Deke as well. That's on our list, okay. So,
but, you know, again, Ulysses, Cities of Gold.
Yeah, there's
all this stuff we've looked at.
Yeah, you know, there is a bar here for this house. You know, there's Get Along Gang we've looked at. You know, you expect a certain amount of quality from them.
Yeah.
But occasionally, they just take a nosedive into utter shit. I think this probably sits on the lower end of that spectrum, you know?
I think so, yeah.
If we're honest. I mean, we could probably do this show just on Deke animated series.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and not have to look at anything else. But, you know, all that is to say that they're very commercially savvy, and
yes,
they know exactly what they know exactly how much money they needed to spend on this. Not a penny more. They knew exactly how to make it do what it needed to do, and that's exactly what they've done. I kind of respect it for that, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, and like I said, I'm never going to watch it again. But I didn't hate it. I really didn't hate it, and I was expecting to.
Yeah. I mean, I came into it as I didn't remember. As I remembered the character designs, I remember the toys, remembered absolutely jack about the show itself. And went into it thinking two things. One, it's coming at the arse end of Turtles and everything else. It's going to be a complete rip-off of that. But also, there's a lot of potential, especially when you have that opening scene where with the father and they set everything up. And I thought, right, okay, this is going in a direction. And I thought, okay, I can live with that. And then it went completely the other fucking way. And I can still live with it. That pilot was enjoyable. I mean, I watched it in the office this afternoon. I was on my own. Actually, had a rare, like, 2 hours where I didn't have fucking meetings. So I just sort of stuck it on the second screen, and I just watched it while I was working. And yeah, I didn't have a bad time doing it. I was thinking all the way through, they should have done, I'd have done this, I'd have done that. But actually, for what it is, it's passable. But I have no intention of sitting through another fucking 37 episodes of it, especially knowing that quality takes a nosedive from there.
Yeah, hell no. Hell no. And for you guys out there, listeners, you know, I would say if you watched it first time round and you have any memory of it whatsoever, it's probably worth a little dip. I wouldn't suggest watching it all by any stretch. I'd take a little dip and just, you know, I'd watch an episode or two for the nostalgia hit. Especially if, like me, you didn't particularly like it the first time around, you may find you're able to approach it a bit more forgivingly. But it's certainly not one like some of the other shows we've had where I can go to people and go, oh man, Street Sharks is great, you should really watch it. Like, it's not that. But it's not bad. It's nowhere near the fucking worst thing we've watched. I don't think it's anywhere near the worst of these anthropomorphic animal shows.
No.
It's nowhere near the best either, but I think it can sit resoundedly probably in the middle.
I'm certainly putting a Bob Bike and Mike from Mars.
100%. That may be a controversial opinion for some people out there, but I know we both agreed on Bike and Mice.
Yeah.
It's definitely better than Bike and Mice. It's definitely worse than Turtles.
Yeah.
I think
to be fair, there's a fairly big expanse between those two.
Well, you know, I think if you look at Moo Mesa, maybe you can throw that in there. I think it's probably worse than Moo Mesa, but that's a close one. It's way worse than Samurai Pizza Cats. Way worse. Because that's the high bar for me. Maybe we need
it's towards the bottom end, but it's not the bottom.
Joe, you know, I'm now thinking maybe we need to take this over to the other show and just get a list of anthropomorphic crime fighting cartoon superstars and just have them slug it out.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm thinking that we need to shift this over to the other show. But yeah, it's resoundingly okay on checks and balances. Yeah. It absolutely fulfills its mission statement.
You're right. I think for me, it's just the wrong fucking mission.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, judging it on that merit, it was a success, I think.
It was fine.
The toys sold enough that they're being relaunched and we remember them.
Yep.
So this was basically a toy advert. You know, I did its job. It's fine. Nobody's fucking talking about extreme dinosaurs, are they?
No. So and nobody's talking about rebooting the fucking show either. They're just talking about re-releasing the toys.
True, true. But I think it's fine. Street Sharks is fine.
Yeah. I mean, as always, would love to know what people think. If people remember it first time around or people are playing along at home, let us know what you think. You might completely disagree with us. You might think it's the best fucking thing ever. I can't see it, but educate me, enlighten me.
You. Know, if you think it's the best thing ever, I got your back. Like, I don't necessarily agree, but...
Yeah.
I get it. I think I get it. I can see how people really like it.
I can see what might have been enjoyable about it. It just wasn't for me. But yeah, I'd love to know what people's thoughts and recollections are, and if they've come at it fresh this time as well. But yeah, just let us know. Again, as always, we're happy to have that discussion. And I forgot the fucking outro again.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've done it.
All right. See, I fucked this up major last week. I was like, oh no, Mark's going to roast me for that. But you've just got to fuck it up. So I'm scot-free now. I'm fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm just blaming the whole death aspect.
Mark's not dead, listeners. Just
no, I'm not dead. No,
Mark's not dead.
I'm not dead. Not yet.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Please get in touch on Twitter at SMPDpod. Wherever you get your podcast from, subscribe, leave a message, we'll be best to the best we can. Until next time.
See you later.